put you on record. I'm ready to go. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for participating this morning. About a few months ago, I was attending a chasna, sitting next to a rebbe, a mechanech from an out-of-town community, and judging from his yeshiva background and from what I knew about his hashkafic background, I automatically assumed that he'd be sending his sons to a particular yeshiva day school in that community that, in my mind, fit his hashkafic background and perspective. And I was surprised to hear that his sons were going to a different day school. I asked him why. And he told me that he had also assumed initially that he'd be sending his kids to the day school that seemed to reflect his hashkafos in terms of what his children should be doing when they graduated yeshiva. But when he consulted his Rosh Hashiva, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Zatzal Chavetz Chaim, Rav Henoch said to him, you must send your children to Yeshiva X, not to Yeshiva Y. Why not? Because Yeshiva X, said Rav Henoch, the boys there have better midos. And in that one statement, he did away with all the other considerations. We have so many considerations in choosing yeshivas for our sons and for our daughters. Hashkafa considerations, which yeshiva stresses Lamid Kodesh more, Lamid Chol more, which yeshiva stresses Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael. And Rav Henoch looked at one thing and one thing only, the midos. That was what his most critical focus was. And even if in some other areas the yeshiva that he chose might not have reflected his hashkafa in every other way, but for him what was so critical was where would the boys become better Bali midos. That was such a fascinating story that when I heard it from this Mechanech, because so often when we assess priorities in educating our children, we tend to focus, like I said before, on I want my son to have a rigorous secular education with a rigorous Kodesh education and Avas Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael, and sometimes we overlook the critical consideration of where will my son or daughter be best educated in terms of becoming a better Baal Midos. And why is that sometimes neglected? Perhaps we negatively perhaps associate a focus on Midos curriculum with perceptions of a Musar movement that involves self-deprecation as a means of motivation, which we obviously nowadays with the benefits of psychological insights reject that approach. Perhaps we think of Rav Chaim Volozhiner's scathing criticism in Nefesh HaChaim of a community he once visited where the shul in that local town was stocked with Musar Sfarim and didn't even have a full set of Shas. And Chaim Volozhiner, in very harsh terms, criticizes those who focus on the study of Musar to the exclusion of a proper focus on Talmud Torah itself, which is very valid, of course, as a complaint. But perhaps because of that background, we sometimes overlook to a certain extent how important a focus on Midos must be as well, along with a focus on rigorous Limud Kodesh, Limud Chol, Avas Medina, Avas Eretz Yisrael, etc. And what's most striking is the famous comment of the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Sefer Mishlei. It's striking not just because of what he says, but because of who he was. The Vilna Gaon was the man who was the masmid of history. His sons write in their introduction to his commentary on Shulchan Aruch that the Vilna Gaon slept no more than 2 hours out of every 24. 1.5 hours at night, half an hour during the day, and he never slept more than half an hour at a time. And the rest of the time, he was engaged in non-stop Torah study. It's incredible. His sons write that whenever he would give musar to the Anshei Vilna, to the residents of his town, he would always urge them to keep in mind the value of time and how important utilizing every moment of time is. So if you were to ask me, what would the Vilna Gaon write is the most critical focus one must have in life, I'll tell you, well, obviously, it's pretty clear. Talmud Torah study, don't waste any time. And that's it. And yet you look in, say, for Mishlei with the Bir HaGrah and Perak Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel, and the Vilna Gaon writes, Ki Masha Adam Chai, the purpose of life is, Kedei Lishbor Hamida Shelo Shavar Adheina, to break that negative quality, that negative attribute, that negative mida that a person has not yet broken. V'lachein, therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, Tzarach Tamid Les Chazik, a person must constantly be working on Tikkun Amidos, V'im Lo Yischazik, because if you neglect that avoda of Tikkun Amidos, Lama Lo Chaim, what's the purpose of life? It's incredible. So the man who was nothing but Torah study, no sleep, no wasting time, just learning 22 hours out of every 24. This is the same man who writes that the focus of life must be Tikkun Hamidos and nothing else. And if I neglect that, then what's my purpose in this world for? Such a striking comment. which certainly now I understand so far so much better why Hanoch Leibowitz was so focused on choosing a yeshiva for his for children based on where the Tikkun HaMidos comes out to be the most pronounced. But the question then begs itself, which is, why? Why is Tikkun HaMidos so critical? So the Vilna Gaon says it, that that's the critical avodah of man in this world. But why? Why is that such a focus? Why am I so caught up on Tikkun HaMidos, Midos Tovos? And perhaps the answer very simply is because Tikkun HaMidos is what spiritual perfection is all about. The Mesillas Yesharim writes in Perek Aleph that the purpose of life is attaining Shlemus. And says Ramchal, Shlemus HaMiti, he says, is only possible through Dveikus, through clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a closeness with God. And the Mesillas Yesharim cites numerous psukim that speak of the mitzvah of Dveikus, Bo Sidbak, Bo Sidbakun, Ledavka Bo. Numerous times, time and again, the Torah stresses that a Jew must look to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come close, to develop a tight relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara in Sot itself asks, Daf Yud Gimel, how is that possible to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? God is an Esh Ochla, He's a consuming fire. I'm a mere mortal. How am I supposed to come close and develop a relationship with God? And the Gemara says, it means, rather, to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Lahaloch Achar Midosav, and Daf Yud Dal Raman Aleph. Lahaloch Achar Midosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Dveikus is defined as emulating God's character traits, God's attributes. With the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, Mahu Rachum, Apatahaye Rachum, God is compassionate, we have to be compassionate. God is Chanun, God is gracious, we have to be Chanun, we have to be gracious. Tikkun HaMidos is all about emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu's Midos because that's what enables us to become close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what enables us to be Dovek Bashem, and Dveikus is Shlemus, that's perfection, that's what we're here for. And so the Vilna Gaon says, the purpose of life is Tikkun HaMidos. That's what it's all about. That's Dveikus, that's Shlemus, that is spiritual perfection. Now, recently, Klal Yisrael suffered the terrible loss of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal. Now, what was so striking about the outpouring of tributes and memories of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was not just that he was a gadol b'Torah, which we all knew, but that he was such a gaon in Midos. The humility that was expressed in the memories and stories that were just being shared by so many Talmidim, so astounding, that such a giant in Torah, such a humble, modest individual. He was such an incredible role model for so many thousands of Talmidim and acquaintances, because not just of his brilliance and his hasmada and his knowledge of the entire corpus of Ch'as and Rishonim, but because of his humility, of his incredible midos. It was so striking to see what a true gadol consists of, someone who recognizes that's not just Torah and Talmud Torah, but it's also the Tikkun HaMidos that goes hand in hand with a Talmud Torah study. HaGaon of Soloveitchik Zatzal once commented on the Gemara Kedushin Daf Mem on Mebeis that Talmud gadol shehat Talmud mevi lidei maisa. Torah study must be coupled with a behavior that's inspired by the values that represent Torah. And Avaron said, he said that the way to measure the success of yeshiva's education of its students is years down the line, you look at the character development that has been affected in these students who have attended this yeshiva. Not just the GPA and the colleges they get into and the kol they get into, but the midos. That's what's so critical. And we look at how Chazal valued midos. Incredible statement in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Someone who possesses that self-discipline, that control, to be ma'avir amidosav, I'm offended, someone insults me publicly, and I don't respond, I just restrain myself from reacting. I demonstrate complete self-discipline, self-control. So the Gemara says, ma'avir lo kol pshav, automatic atonement, all my sins out the window. Astounding statement. You want to attain kapara, it all depends upon my ability to be ma'avir amidosai. I'm offended, I'm publicly insulted, I don't feel the need to react in anger or in revenge and to shoot back from the hip, which we so often value in our society, who has the sharper tongue, the quicker reaction time, who can outdo the other in that verbal debate. And Chazal instead value ma'avirun amidosav, someone who can simply tolerate an offense publicly and not respond. My sister-in-law, Rabbi Tzinfina, told me about 10 years ago a story she heard in Eretz Yisrael from Rabbi Naftali Weiss, who was speaking on behalf of Eitaim, about a couple who had been struggling to conceive for 20 years. And they finally went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky in desperation. And they said, we've gone to doctors, treatments, tzaddikim, brachos, segulos. What is there left for us to do? What else can we try? And what he told them was incredible. A man who knows Kol HaTorah Kulo, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the one advice he had for them was, find somebody who's ma'avra midosav and ask that person for a bracha. Of all the things to pull out of the hat. The one person he felt had the koach to give a bracha that would accomplish what no one else could accomplish. Tzadikim, mekubalim, doctors, segulos, tfilos. Find someone who's ma'avra midosav, someone who you see is publicly insulted and just bites his tongue and doesn't react. That's someone who Kadosh Baruch Hu values to such an extent that his bracha will accomplish what no one else could accomplish. Astounding, astounding appreciation for the ability of a Baal Midos, one who's Ma'av Baal Midosav, to change the Gezar Din and Shemayim. That is what true godliness is all about. If one reads Simcha Raz's biography of Rav Kook Zatzal, remarkable story. Rav Kook was once attending a bris in the old city of Yerushalayim in the 1930s. And as is well known, he had some, unfortunately, antagonists who were very opposed to his interaction with the irreligious Zionist sector in Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, their opposition knew no bounds. As he was walking, Chief Rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, walking to a bris in the old city streets of Yerushalayim, one of these misguided individuals takes a pail of filthy sewage and dumps it on him. Says the Rav HaRashi of Eretz Yisrael, Gon, a tzaddik, wearing a shtraim and a kapata, and someone dumps sewage water all over him. And there was such outrage that the Attorney General of the British Mandatory Government of Palestine, Norman Bentwich, was so outraged that he came to Rav Kook. He said, I'm going to prosecute these individuals, throw them to prison for good, they'll never happen to you again. Rav Kook said, please don't. Don't do a thing. He was capable of absorbing and tolerating such a public humiliation. To him, it was of no significance, his covet, his humiliation. Ma'av midos of a gadol b'torah, gadol and midos, goes hand in hand. And the question then becomes, if this is so critical, how do we educate for midos? If this is what life is all about, so what's the curriculum? What's the secret? How do you educate for midos? Now, of course, role modeling is critical. The Gemara says, Imdoma harav l'malach Hashem tzvakos. If a Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem, then you should study Torah from him. Shavan Soloveitchik once said, that means a Malach is consistent. He doesn't waver. He does what he's supposed to do. There's no hypocrisy, no double standards. A Mechanech must be someone who demonstrates consistency. You are what you teach. That's for parents, that's for Mechanechim. It goes hand in hand. So that's obvious, that to be a role model in Midos is just as critical, if not more so, than instructing one to do Midos. But it's not enough, because how do you encourage somebody to be happy and content in life? How do I rid myself of a midah of kinah, of jealousy, of envy? How do I learn to be someone who's so optimistic and so happy and never down and depressed and upset and frustrated? It's not so simple to deal with emotions and to teach midos that are emotion-related. How does one teach midos? So 15 years ago, I heard a beautiful series of shirim from Rav Meir Twersky Shlita in YU. Spoke about midos, tikkun hamidos, and he had one yesod which was so beautiful. He quoted his grandfather, the Rav Zatzal, who said that the way to educate and train one in midos is to educate and train and instruct someone in yesodos ha'emuna. Because a midah tova, said the Rav Zatzal, said Rav Twersky, is really a consequence of a proper perspective of yesodos ha'emuna. And but one example to begin with, the famous example of the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Yisrael. Lo sachma, don't be envious, don't be jealous of someone else's possessions, wife, home, wealth, etc. Ibn Ezra asks, how's it possible? I just, by nature, it's an emotion. I grew up with this guy, we were best friends in elementary school and high school, we were neighbors, we now live together in the same community, we both work equally hard, I work even harder, I work longer hours, he makes more money, he's got more than I have, how can I not be envious and jealous? Why is it fair that I have less and he has more? You can't help it. How are you supposed to not be envious? So Ibn Ezra has such a beautiful, famous mashal, which if I had to modernize it just a bit, I would suggest the following. You know, I think it was a couple years ago that about tens of millions of people worldwide were tuned into the Chasana of the Year, which was Kate Middleton and Prince William. So if I'm a young woman living in New York City, wouldn't I be so jealous of Kate? I mean, here she is. She's not working a day in her life. She's living a life of luxury, pampered, royal life. All she has to do is smile for the cameras and nothing else. And not only that, but her children are next in line for the royal throne of Britain, you know, Emis of British Anachas. So how could I, as a young woman in New York City, not be jealous and burning with envy of this Kate Middleton? So the answer to that is very simple. Because growing up in New York City, it never even dawned on me that it would be possible in a million years for me to meet William and to marry him. So it never dawned on me as a possibility. So it's beyond the realm of possibility. I'm not jealous of her. If I was a classmate in that private school that they went to in England together, and it was me and Kate vying for William's attention, and she won out and I lost out, oh boy, would I be burning with envy. That would really be miserable. But if I'm living here in New York City, it never dawned on me as a possibility. It's beyond the realm of possibilities. So of course I'm not jealous. Says Ibn Ezra so beautifully, he says, if somebody's capable of internalizing the Yesodos HaAmuna of Hashkocha Pratis, of recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines what everyone gets and what everyone doesn't get. And whatever I get, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided this is what I'm deserving of to use in my tafkid, in fulfilling my Avodas Hashem, my mission in this world. What my neighbor gets, because that's what he needs to be fully able to accomplish his mission in the world, to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me what I deserve and what I need and nothing more. And that I'm capable of being Mekayim, my tafkid in this world, with what I have, and I don't need anything else. And if I don't have it, I can't get it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what I get. If I really live that Hashkacha Pratis Amuna, Yesod HaAmuna, then I'm not jealous, because it's beyond the realm of possibility. And this, said Rav Tversky, is what is so critical to Tikkun HaMidos, to identify which one of the Yesodos HaAmuna is what creates this Midah Tova. And then work not on the Midah directly, but work on that Yesod HaAmuna first. Work on internalizing Hashkacha Pratis, and that belief in Hashkacha Pratis, and then just willy-nilly, as a consequence of that belief in Hashkacha Pratis, I'm not jealous of anybody anymore. I'm content with what I have because I feel fulfilled with what I have. But that raises another question. Instead of personality perfection as a fundamental focus, what happens then to faith as a fundamental focus? Are we really in our yeshiva day schools, in our homes, trying to educate our children in Yesodos HaEmunah properly? And I'll share with you one experience. A few months ago, I was sitting on a Beis Din for Geirus. We're interviewing a candidate who was applying to convert. And we were just assessing, you know, how much she had studied as part of her curriculum that she was given by her local Rav to prepare for conversion, how much she still needed to study. And one of the Rabbanim asked, have you studied yet the 13 principles of faith of Maimonides, of the Rambam? You give me Yesodos HaEmunah. And for whatever reason, that had been never included in her curriculum. And we were stunned. How can anybody think of converting without knowing what they're converting to? Isn't that the most basic beginnings, the ABCs of Judaism? And then I asked myself, well, how many of us from birth can rattle off the Yud Gimel Yesodos HaEmunah? Can I rattle off the Yud Gimel Yesodos HaEmunah? Did I ever have a class in yeshiva that focused on what we believe? And maybe we're to blame that we don't even educate ourselves in what we really should be believing. And perhaps it's because we're too scared sometimes to engage in discussion with our children or students about emunah, because we feel ill-equipped at times to answer their questions. So it's a self-defeating vicious cycle. We don't teach it because we don't know enough about it to answer the questions. But then our children don't know enough about it to answer their questions. And it never begins. I think it's a very, very unfortunate omission if we fail to educate ourselves and our children about the Yud Gimel Yesodos HaEmunah and what is so critical as a believing Jew to believe. But even all the more so that we now recognize that this is critical for our midos as well. So we're missing out not just on Yesodos HaEmunah, but on a midos tovas that result from those Yesodos HaEmunah. The Gemara Makos Daf Chav Dalet says that Chabakuk HaNavi, Bo Chabakuk HaEmidon Al Achas. Chabakuk took the Tayag Mitzvos and he said, you know what, if you can't fully live up to and fulfill all Tayag Mitzvos, here's one most critical to focus on. What is that? Tzadik be'emunah so yichya. To live with emunah. Of all the mitzvos, that Chabakuk said is the most critical mitzvah to focus on. Tzadik be'emunah so yichya. But notice his choice of language. Be'emunah so yichya. It doesn't speak in the pasuk of knowing the Yesodos HaEmunah. It speaks of living the Yesodos HaEmunah. It's this very same idea. To not just to recognize what we should believe, but to live life accordingly. My life should be impacted by my knowledge and awareness of these Yesodos HaEmunah. So, for example, not just the happiness versus envy that we described from the Ibn Ezra as a means of countering Lo Sachma because of my belief in Hashgacha Pratis. But take another example. Take, for example, the Midah of Kas, one who's prone to anger. So the Rambam tells us, quoting Chazal, that Kol HaKoes Kilo Oved Avodas Kochavim, one who bursts into a rage, loses his temper, as if he is idol worshipping. That is astounding. Because I lose my temper momentarily, so I'm an idol worshipper? What does that mean? So the Baal HaTanya, in his Igeres HaKodesh Perek Chaf Hei, writes, he says, you know why? Because at the moment of anger, when someone loses his temper, nistalka mimenu ha'amuna. You're lacking at that moment in true faith, in amuna. Why? Because if you really believed Shema'es Hashem ha'isazos, that whatever happened that infuriated me was supposed to happen because God willed it to happen, so I wouldn't be angry. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided this should happen to me. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that I'm deserving of an insult from that individual. Or whatever the source of my anger is. If I really was a ma'amin in the complete sense of the word, I recognize him. Es Hashem ha'isazos. Why am I getting angry? Or another related midah. Gaiva, which the Rambam also, quoting Chazal, writes, Kol ha'magbiya libo kofar be'ikr. One who is arrogant. Is kofar be'ikr. Denying God's existence. Why? Because I'm arrogant? Am I denying God's existence? The very same idea. Because if I'm a full ma'amin in the full sense of the word, I recognize that whatever talents I have, successes I enjoy, it's not because of me, kochi v'otzim yadi, but rather it's because of Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that I should be given this success or this talent to use in my avodas Hashem. So then what room is there for me to be arrogant and to feel superior to somebody else? Hagaon Avraham Lichtenstein was such a modest, humble individual who saw nothing wrong with transmitting a message from the payphone of the yeshiva Beis Medrash to a young man in the yeshiva, telling him that your girlfriend called and wants to meet you tonight, because he felt himself to be like any other Jew. Why am I above that? Why am I above helping someone else and transmitting a message from one individual to the next? When he visited the home of Mr. Julie Berman in Queens, and he sat in his home in the morning and answered the phone calls as they came in, and then gave Mr. Berman messages when he came back home that afternoon. Here's a list of messages. He would ask someone, hello, this is Aaron talking, how can I help you? Why was Rosh Shiva of that stature answering phones in someone else's house, taking messages, conveying messages? Why not? Because he never saw himself as superior to anybody else. His success in Talmud Torah and in teaching thousands of Tamina was because of Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him that schus. So he didn't see himself superior to anybody else. It wasn't beneath him to help somebody else. On the flip side, if you read Yehuda Avner's book, The Prime Ministers, and you read his very fascinating description of his interaction with Henry Kissinger. I never met Mr. Kissinger, so I can't give you any personal impressions. But Yehuda Avner didn't seem to like him too much. Describes how he would, at times, yell in anger at Yitzhak Rabin when negotiations didn't go his way. He yelled in a rage that the Israelis weren't conceding enough in the Sinai during the negotiations before the peace treaty with Egypt. He describes how, during one meeting with the Israeli prime minister, Kissinger's security guard walks into the room with a pair of glasses in his hand and says, Mr. Secretary, you forgot these glasses in the car. And Kissinger refused to even acknowledge him. Didn't look at him. Just sat there. Ignored him totally. And this poor security guard is left standing there holding the glasses, and the secretary says, ignoring him. So he has to hand it to the ambassador, the American ambassador to Israel, who hands it to Kissinger's aide, who then gives it to Kissinger, who pockets it without a word. Such arrogance, not a thank you, not interacting with that poor security guard. Fascinating to see how the anger and the arrogance seem to go hand in hand. Why? Because both are expressions of a lack of recognition that any success I have is not due to me, but due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything that happens to me that doesn't go my way is not due to someone else, it's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu deciding it shouldn't go my way. What's the counter reaction? What's the solution to avoid the arrogance and the anger? If a person recognizes Shavisi Hashem, like the Samad, a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence at all times, overseeing me, watching me, there's no room for anger. There's no room for gaiva. Kadosh Baruch Hu decides what happens to me. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me whatever gifts I have. How could I be angry? If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. A person is capable of refraining himself from flaring into a temper when someone who is superior to him is standing there talking to him. Case in point, Yehuda Avner writes that Richard Nixon had a habit of referring to Kissinger as my Jew boy. Now, if anybody else called Kissinger a Jew boy, he probably would yell and scream into red in the face and banish him from the office. But when Nixon calls him a Jew boy, he had to silently tolerate it because it's his superior, it's his boss. If he opens his mouth, he's fired, he's done with. L'havdil, if a person recognizes Shavisi Hashem, the boss is watching at all times, there's no room for arrogance, no room for anger. Kadosh Baruch Hu decides what happens to me, doesn't happen to me. The Yesodos HaMuna of Hashgacha Pratis, of Shavisi Hashem, serve to counter one's proclivity to anger or to gaiva, to arrogance. Another example. The midah of integrity, honesty in business. What makes a Jew honest? One looks at the end of Parshas Ki Tsetse, the mitzvah to remember Amalek. What's so fascinating is what precedes those psukim are the psukim that speak about honesty in weights and measures when doing business. Mitzvah asks, what's the connection? You talk about Evan Shlema, Batzedek Yelach, and all of a sudden, Zachar Es Asher Asalach HaMalek, Amalek, right after honesty in business, what's the connection? Mitzvah says, because honesty in business means I recognize there's no point in cheating because the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides how much money I make at the end of the year anyways. If I take it illicitly here, God will take it from me over there. I'll get what I deserve regardless of what I do. There's no point in cheating because the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides ultimately how much I get. But if I don't recognize that Yesod HaAmun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu overseeing what I earn in business, well then, comes Amalek. Amalek was Asher Karcha Baderach. Didn't believe in Hashgacha Pratis. Everything is coincidence, is nature. And Chazal, quoted by Rashi, they say it, that if one is not honest with Midos and Mishkalos in business, then Amalek will come and attack. Because they go hand in hand. The honesty and integrity in business results from the recognition in the moon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as deciding what I earn every year. The lack of that is then what Amalek stands for. Lack of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, but rather belief in everything being nature and coincidence and mikra. And finally, the ability to be optimistic and happy in life, always to have a positive outlook. What does that stem from? Also, from emunah, that times will improve, Kadosh Baruch Hu will make it better at some point in the future. Dr. Martin Seligman, a famous psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, wrote a book called Learned Optimism, where he advances a fascinating theory that if you analyze the writings and speeches of politicians vying for election, he argues that you can predict who will win the election based on who is more positive and optimistic sounding in their campaign speeches. He devised a certain scale of optimism, a measurement of optimism that he applied to every presidential election going back to the 1940s, and found that those candidates who were consistently upbeat, positive, optimistic were the ones who won. And then applied it to elections that had not yet been decided and found that it worked going forward as well, not just in retrospective analysis, but even going forward. The ability to predict the winner of a significant election depended upon who the public would sense was a bigger optimist, had a better positive outlook on the future. People like optimism. They like positive outlook. So what I found so fascinating is that he describes how he once met with a psychologist historian who was trying to analyze why it was that of two persecuted minorities in Tsarist Russia, the Russian Slavs and the Russian Jews. The Slavs remained persecuted and remained the minority suffering for so long in Russia. And the Russian Jews, many of them, picked up and left and resettled in America and built a new, better life for themselves. And on a whim, I guess he applied his analysis of optimism to the liturgy of these two groups, the Russian Slavs and the Russian Jews. And he found that the Jewish liturgy, the Tfilos, are so full, as we know, of emuna, of upbeat optimism, geula, that the future will be better, faith in the future, that is a future of redemption, that times will get better, is what gave Jews that ability to be so resilient and so upbeat and so optimistic for a better future. And that's what he argues is the critical ingredient to maintain that positive outlook on life. Just being positive, expressing that emunah time and again. And so if I had to sum it up, we saw that the critical focus of one's life as an Eved Hashem must be Tikkun HaMidos, as the Vilna Gaon writes in Sefer Mishlei. We said that that's because Midos are the key to Shleimus, which is the key to Dveikus, which is the goal that Mr. Sasham says is what every Jew must have in life. We quote Rav Tursky, in the name of his grandfather, that the way to educate for Midos is to educate and to inculcate that Yesod HaAmuna that parallels that Mido. So what it means, the antidote to jealousy and envy is the belief in Ashkocha Pratis, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me what I have and nothing more, because that's what I need. I don't need anything more. But it means the antidote to Gaiva, to Kas, is to recognize Shivisi Hashem, a Kadosh Baruch Hu determined this should happen to me, not someone else. But it means the ability to maintain an upbeat outlook on life because of my bitachon and a better future and a geula, an expression of amuna. These are all the ways to ensure better midos in ourselves and our children. So Tversky, in summation, as well said, what one must do is to identify in oneself the midah that needs rectification. What do I need to improve upon? What midah is that I need to work on? To then identify what is the corresponding hashkafa, that emunah belief that would help me work on that midah. And to reinforce that hashkafa by working on the yesodos ha'emunah that correspond to that midah, that's the way, perhaps indirectly, but that's the way to ultimately educate for better midos in ourselves and in our children. We should be zocha to see that success, not just education of emunah, but also education and success in educating for midos tovus as well. Thank you all for coming, for listening. Wish you a wonderful day.
Thank you. I've seen you for a while.
Close this up. Close this.
Yeah.